Just an FYI, this is my lunch break on Wednesday, April the 1st, 2020. And those of you, I guess you would have to be, have been doing the Appalachian Trail for the past 3 months to have no idea that the world is a little bit crazy right now. Just to preface this, like, I don't have any notes. I don't have any. I mean, this is ancient and new, but I'm by myself, and I don't know where Lee is right now. I just am socially distant in Sequoia Hills Park. And I remember this thing this morning when I was a senior in college, fall of 2015. Tennessee football was like kind of good. Like, they were supposed to be good that year. It was Josh Dobbs and Jalen Hurd and Alvin Kamara, just like all the, oh, maybe Alvin Kamara was another team. I don't know. Anyways, they were playing, and they were going to be playing at home against Oklahoma, who, that was like right before Baker Mayfield won the Heisman. Not a ton of people knew a ton about him. They knew he was good, but he hadn't like had this big coming out party yet. But Oklahoma was coming to Knoxville. And I was a senior, all my roommates were seniors, and we were like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to go to this game together. And we all got denied tickets. We actually got waitlisted. Like, we, you know, like you pay like $10 and you get a student ticket at UT. And they were like, you can't go. We don't have any seats. And so I wrote a letter to the athletic department and was like, what the heck? Basically saying how entitled I was to have a ticket. And I just thought, I deserve a ticket. I deserve one. Whatever. What a turd. But it kind of worked. Like, we ended up getting tickets, except they were the row behind the band. Literally, like, we were like, the tubas would like turn around and blow their tubas in our face. So the game was really fun. Tennessee lost, but like the whole time I couldn't really talk to my friends because the band was super loud and couldn't hear them or anything. You know, it was just one of those things. It was so loud. It was only as enjoyable as it possibly could be. I remember in 2012, I was at a music festival in Austin, Texas, and I was in the mosh pit for Bass Nectar, who's like a big, I guess, like EDM DJ or something like that. And it was me and thousands of people shoulder to shoulder. The music was loud and it was really fun. And in the middle of it, I felt like a warm liquid running down my leg. And the guy next to me, I guess he couldn't find a bathroom anywhere. I guess that's what happened. And it was one of those things where it's like, what can I do? There's nothing I could do about this. It is too loud. It is too crazy. I can't even tell my friends because they can't hear me. And we're all just, you know, I just stood there with someone else's urine on my leg for an hour. And I feel like right now I'm going to make a bit of a 90 degree turn, but I feel like the world is loud. I feel like everything is turned up to 11. I get to work and the first thing anyone talks about is the coronavirus, and you see someone who you're best friends with and the first thing you talk about is coronavirus, and it's just in your face and it's there and it's scary and there's news about it. Everyone has their own thoughts and opinions about it and everything. And it, honestly, it's dangerous. And it is, it's taking lives and it's changing everyday life for everyone in the world right now. And everything is just so stinking loud. And when things are really loud, it can be really hard to hear Jesus. It can be really hard to hear him because most of the time he's not that way. Most of the time he's quiet and he whispers and he works softly in your heart. When things are turned up super loud, I can miss him if I'm not paying attention. And in fact, I can forget him if I'm not paying attention because he's not on a billboard by the interstate. And he's not on my computer screen at work or, you know, the news. He's not on it. He's not there with a microphone in front of his face. I've been having to work really hard to get down to the bare bones of my faith, to get down in a place with the Lord where I feel like you're near to me right now. I can hear you. I'm having to work really hard for that because it's not an easy time for it. It's not. Things are dark and sad and scary. I read this thing this morning and it just encouraged the snot out of me. I have loved in this season that I've had to work really hard in the morning to get up and spend time before I do anything else with Jesus. I do that anyway, but right now it's felt different. I've had to work really hard, and I have worked really hard, and it has been sweet in those times. I've had to get up earlier. I've had to read more. I've had to express myself more to the Lord and tell him everything I'm feeling. And I've been really thankful for it. I've been really thankful for the quiet moments before I get in my car and get to work. And then the rest of my day is loud and scary statistics and stuff, it seems like. And in those moments, I'm having to work really hard to step away and say, okay, Lord, you're going to have to take over in this situation, because if not, the thoughts about all this stuff are going to derail me. I read this morning. This is from Psalm 73. It says, "Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." It goes on to say, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." It's felt like the Lord's been far from me at times during this. And then I read this, verse 23. "I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand." He is always with us. In fact, he is holding our right hand. That is such a sweet image. I have a clear image of every time I used to walk through parking lots or big crowds just out of habit. I mean, I would just reach out and grab my dad's hand. Like if we were walking to Walmart, or if we were at a UT football game and we were walking around, even when I was older, like 7 or 8 years old, over on UT's campus on a Saturday, I would just grab my dad's hand. I would just reach back because I would always walk in front of him. And it made me feel safe. Verse 24 says, "You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory." Like I said, it has been hard to hear that because of how loud everything is. But in the quiet moments, in his word, in the stillness of my heart, when I let him, he counsels me. He's our guide. He's wise. He knows what to say. He knows what we need. He's in charge. And when this is all over, he's going to take me to heaven with him. Man, that is going to be a great day. When there are no more worries, no more fears. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. There's a time that's coming where none of this is going to be a thing anymore. Where this is going to be a far off memory. Where we won't even think about it because of how amazing heaven is going to be. 25 says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you." Jesus, I love you. Man, I just feel that way when I'm reading this. There's nothing here that is worth anything to me. There's nothing here that can give anything to me that he doesn't give a million times more. Man, every good thing on this earth, everything that I long for in this world, pales in comparison to what he has for me and who he is. All the beauty of this earth, all of it is crying out for him. I'm so thankful for these words today. Verse 26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I have felt foolish so many times in the past few weeks. Because I felt afraid. I just to be honest, I felt afraid more than I have before. I've been scared. I've been nervous. I've been anxious. I've been worried. All those things. My flesh and my heart may fail. In fact, it has failed. And it will fail. the rest of today, it is going to happen. In 10 minutes, when I leave this parking lot, it is going to happen. My flesh and my heart are going to fail. But he isn't. God isn't. That is so sweet. And he knows it. He knows that I'm going to. He knows that we're going to. He knows that we're going to get worried and we're going to get nervous and we're going to be afraid. And he still loves us. And he is our strength. He is the strength of my heart and my portion forever for the rest of my days. He's so much better at that than I am, and I'm really thankful for it. Verse 28 said, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, and I will tell of all your deeds." I haven't done a good job of this, but the way the world is crying out right now, they need somebody. They need a savior more than ever. We've always needed one. Everyone has. We've realized it before other people have in our life. But a ton of people around us need to know about Jesus right now. The only way that's going to happen is if I'm near to God, if I'm searching for him in the middle of all this, if I am sitting down quiet moments before the sun comes up in the morning with my cup of coffee, in the middle of my workday when I'm tired of looking at my computer screen, in the evening before I go to sleep, before I turn on any TV, opening a book, going on a walk and talking to him, listening to the right music. More than ever before, I find myself right now blocking everything else out as best I possibly can to search for him. I found out yesterday that my 8.5-month-old niece, when she gets really excited, she will clench her fists together and just start shaking. Like it is, it's like straight out of a TV show. It made me laugh so much, and I loved it so much. She just is so cute, and it's so funny. And when I read these words this morning, it's exactly how I felt. "Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds."
Hey everybody. I am currently driving my car and I'm on my way to Firehouse to pick up a sandwich. I'm kind of fired up about it. And I'm loving this drive because although it is a little bit overcast today, just stuff is blooming everywhere. Especially red buds, Japanese maples. Dogwoods are starting to get their leaves. And it is getting so much just kind of sunnier and greener and happier. People who follow me on Instagram will know this, but last May, Thomas and I planted a crepe myrtle in our front yard, right in front of our kitchen window for Christy, for Mother's Day. And it was really pretty all summer, and then, of course, in the late fall, it lost its leaves, and it's just been this barren little twig all winter. And I've been watching other trees get their leaves and wondering, like, is our little crepe myrtle going to come back? Is it going to come back? And then the other day I got home from work and I saw these tiny little bright green leaf buds. And Thomas had looked at it about 3 weeks ago and he told me, "You're fine. Everything's fine. I can see where the leaves are going to happen." And I did believe him, but it was just really sweet to see the leaves come out. I promise I believed you, Thomas. I want to read something from a very curious passage in the Old Testament. During the season of Lent, we've been talking about things in the Old Testament which kind of point to the cross. This one's a little ancillary. Maybe it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's a really cool passage. So what I'm going to do is pull over on the side of the road, hands-free Tennessee, and I'm going to read this passage. It's from Zechariah in chapter 3. And this prophet Zechariah just has this vision about a high priest. Here we go. It says, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan.'
the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Now, Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. It goes on a little bit, and the part that I wanted to read to you especially is down a few more verses. It says this, listen, O High Priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. The B in branch is capitalized. This is about Jesus. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. And that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. So, a couple of cool things. One, Hamilton fans, you will notice a little shout out from Potsy just drove past me and honked his horn, if you heard that. Hamilton fans, you'll notice a little shout out to the song One Last Time, where George Washington sings, I want to sit under my own vine and fig tree, a moment alone in the shade. That's where that comes from, right there. So enjoy that. Zechariah chapter 3, last verse of Zechariah 3. But so he has this vision of the high priest Joshua, and he's in these filthy clothes, and Satan is there, which the word Satan means the accuser. And he's just accusing Joshua of being the sinner. How can he be your high priest? How can he stand for you, Lord? Look at this dude. He is full of sin. He's filthy. And Joshua can't say anything in his defense because he is. And the Lord just removes his dirty clothes and puts clean clothes on him and puts a clean turban on his head. And he says, I have taken your sin away. And you're like, is it that easy? At the end of the chapter, he says, I'm going to send my servant, the branch, and I'm going to remove the sin of this whole land in a single day. And you're like, these are bold predictions. This is like, I mean, the accuser Satan is accusing us, and we are sinners, and we do have sin in our lives and in our hearts and in our mouths and in our motives. And yet, the declaration of the Lord in the midst of that accusation is, I'm going to take it away. I'm going to change your clothes. I'm going to put a clean hat on your head. And I'm going to do all of this in one single day. And then you think about the branch who did come, from the root of Jesse, the descendant of David, Jesus. And that the darkest day in the history of the world, he did. He removed my sin in a single day, so that we can have peace, so that we can sit under our own vine and fig tree, a moment alone in the shade. It's so cool. I love this thought, and I love to think about this as things are blooming. It's April 1st as I'm recording this. And by the way, no April Fool's jokes on this podcast today. I hate April Fool's jokes. I think it's so unkind, because I'm a person who likes to believe people. And by the way, most humans default to truth. That's why April Fool's jokes works on people so much. But I think it's garbage. And so I'm especially stressed out right now. And so I need things of peace and things of hope. And so I will not be giving you any April Fool's jokes. So there. But yeah, it's April 1st. And everything is blooming and everything is green. And red buds are purple, even though they're called red buds. And tulips are gorgeous. And everything's coming back to life, like resurrection. And it's just a really cool time to think about the fact that peace has been made through the blood of Jesus, so that we can sit under our own vine and fig tree, a moment alone in the shade. And I hope that brings you some comfort, and I hope it brings you some peace. We are thankful for you, and I hope that the warmer days and the plants blooming and blossoming and coming back to life and the world turning green
and bright colors again is something that's given you a lot of hope. And I hope that you have encouragement, knowing that no matter what you've done and no matter where you've gone or how deep it's been or how bad it's been, that all of our sin was removed in a single day when our Lord stretched out his hands and paid. And then he came back to life, just like the whole world is coming back to life right now. All right, that's all I've got for you.
We love y'all, and we're thankful for you. And I'm Lee, and he was Thomas. And this has been Ancient and New.
Ooh.